We have almost finished. Maybe two more points I have to discuss from your sheets. Then I will give you back the sheets. And I think today we can spend the rest of the time in questions. You are free to ask anything. We will have some question answer session. Tomorrow also partly we will have the question answer, and then we will give you the feedback form which you have to fill up. So we are almost coming to the end of it. Tomorrow is the last day of retreat. What are we doing in 7th morning? That is on 7th. I will measure how you will measure your progress in spiritual sadhana. I will measure my progress only by how I handle difficult situations of my life with peace of mind and knowledge, etc., etc. This is not a very wholesome statement. Well, difficult period, when difficulties are coming, you can see whether you have improved or not. That is true. But suppose you don't have any difficulty in life, then there won't be any measurement for spiritual sadhana. Suppose you don't face any difficulty in life, you are quite happy with it, and you will not be able to measure the improvement in spiritual sadhana. So it is not only through difficulties. Many people do not feel any difficulty because of lack of looking within, that practice of looking within. Suppose you are blaming others, or you are happily blaming others because you are in a superior position. Suppose you are the factory manager or the boss, and you are constantly condemning people, blaming people, and you are very happy with this. You don't find any difficulty. So how will you measure your spiritual progress? You have to look into your mind and see that how the mind is behaving with people. So it is not only the difficult situations we can wait for to measure the spiritual progress. Actually, in every moment we have to watch our thought and see whether I am improving or not. Every moment we have to watch. It becomes a habit. You don't have to watch every moment. Initially maybe you have to practice. After some time it becomes automatic. The moment, all thoughts may not be, but the moment any wrong thoughts come in. Wrong means which is constricting, which is ragadvesha full, it will automatically be caught. So the question is to look within for measurement. So the various points you can mention there, that one is unaffectedness. Now unaffectedness does not mean only unaffectedness in a difficult situation. When there is a happy situation also we get affected. Affected means in the other manner, you get elated there. So if there is some success or some happy situation and we get very much elated, that is also not spiritual progress. So unaffectedness, it is okay, but for unaffectedness we need not wait for difficult period to come. It can be just every moment, every day. I think last time out in USA, we had prepared a routine for daily introspections. So every day, what are we to check with the mind? And if you want, we can make it. I think it might be there in my computer. Can we make it about 8 or 10 points I had noted down there? It must be available. Daily introspection was the title given. We can change a little and give. Here one person has written that by my how will you measure by my not getting easily agitated by the external environment and keep smiling, but this progress can be measured by asking my children. So this I wanted to point out, that no, children may say that you have become much better. Well, that is a measure, but the spiritual progress is within. So Suppose with lot of suppression you behave well with the children, that will not be considered as spiritual progress. But definitely if people are harmonious around you, which they were not earlier, then you can say that it's not always, but you can say it has some spiritual notes also. But finally, all spiritual progress or no progress or anything, going back, stepping back, everything should be known by looking within. It is for oneself to know. Natu parapratyaksham. Swasamvedyam. Swasamvedyam. Natu parapratyaksham. Anything in spirituality, it is swasamvedyam. One has to know by oneself. Whatever lakshanas are mentioned in the scriptures about knowers, lakshana, virtues, etc., all are swasamvedyam. We have to analyze ourselves. Natu parapratyaksham. Not others cannot see it. Others can be deceived also. But you cannot deceive yourself. Although we go on deceiving ourselves, but still you will be caught. In my understanding, spiritual sadhana is that which will help to improve your inner capacity potential. This is not exactly spiritual sadhana. It may increase your inner capacity of potential, but spiritual sadhana is not just related to that. That inner capacity and potential, in what way? That also has to be seen. That capacity means, the capacity often depends on your intelligence, your talent and so many other things. That you can develop, suppose somebody is working in the managerial field, by taking all managerial lessons and all, he is improving his capacity, potential also. But every time it may not be a spiritual progress. So inner capacity and potential. Now, inner purity, if you had written, then of course, what is purity? Inner purity, we can say the lack of clash within. That is, in our personality, always there is a clash going on between the intelligence and the mind and the emotion, and the viveka buddhi and the vishaya buddhi. That is the buddhi which always tries to take us on the auspicious path, and the other part of the intelligence which is always taking us towards prayas, between the shreyas and prayas, as I have already explained. So there is always a friction going on within our personality. So in a way, spirituality is to integrate the personality where there is no such friction at all. The whole personality becomes harmonious. The chariot picture I have shown? No, not this time I have not shown. Just as the inner voice is saying, according to that the intelligence is guiding the mind is following the intelligence, the senses are following the mind, everything should be absolutely harmonious. That is spirituality is that integration, inner integration, where the clash becomes less and less and less. In Yoga Sutras, this clash in English, in Sanskrit it is actually a klesha. Klesha means difficulty, the struggle we feel within, the stress and all that. It is called klesha. So klesha has been defined in so many kinds of kleshas we have. All these definitions are there. They have analyzed our life so well. All kinds of kleshas are analyzed. Now, these kleshas remain as long as the ragadvesha remain. So, all the interactions will be there. One can face a war, one can fight a war, but have no klesha within, provided the ragadvesha is not there. So, it is to be free of that kind of internal turbulence or klesha, friction. Spiritual sadhana means to dwell inside the mind and find out the unwanted thoughts and try to get rid of them and try to make the mind calm and peaceful. It is fine, but again, initially might be the focus should be on the unwanted thoughts and so. But it is always a better method to fill the mind with the good thoughts, with the liberal thoughts. So often this, it is a caution, you think whether it happens in you. Often a so-called spiritual seeker becomes very self-centered and selfish. Self-centered because constantly focusing on his own. That actually in spiritual sadhana we focus on our own, but always the sadhana is to expand the mind, to become liberal, to get rid of the constrictions. But what happens is that because of our ego, we are not able to do that. But the mind always remains bogged down by our dukkhas, by our troubles, our difficulties we are facing. So we forget the other people. So whenever the mind is suffering, undergoing some suffering or too much of, it is too much inward, self-centered, so to say. Even in the ashram also, when people come, if they are very self-centered and constantly troubled, that is not a spiritual progress. Rather, in such cases, it is better to think of others. Suppose you have some dukkha or some difficulty in life. If you think of the whole world, how much people are suffering, think of the people suffering, you will find that your suffering will become much diluted. Suffering will be there, but the mind will not get so much of suffering. In the process, your mind will expand. Thinking of others, it will undergo an expansion. In one case, I remember we were repeatedly telling her that think of others, you don't have to, because what happens is that it is called a narcissistic complex actually, that in some, not here, I am talking about another case where the person, the sadhaka, was too much concerned about what people are thinking of her, how is she behaving. If the, it is an egocentric movement. If the ego is there, then you will become, after finding a fault in you, you will become all the more depressed. It is there in another sheet I read yesterday also. When you are too much focused on your defects or so, and you are egoistic about it, the moment that defect is pointed out, oh, I am of no use, I cannot do anything, I am of... You understand? Actually, if you are free of the sangha, if you are free of the ego, then when the defect is pointed out, you will immediately catch it, that, oh, I have that defect, I have to work on it, and you will work on it. But if you get depressed by that discovery that I have this defect, then you will not be able to work on it. You will not be able to remove it also. Are you able to understand? This is very important. The moment any good quality is found, you feel that, oh, Swamiji has praised me. Gone. That means if Swamiji has praised you, it is to enhance your good quality. He will not just like that praise. Some appreciation of a good quality means it is something to be had all the more, which is something desirable. So I should all the more work for it. But if you get elated by that, then it will not work. You will not be able to improve that quality. Similarly, suppose some fault is pointed out, it is not to make you depressed or to criticize you or to put you down. It has been pointed out only to bring in the correction. Suppose you get depressed that, oh, even now I am suffering from jealousy. 10 years ago I was suffering from jealousy, even now I am suffering from jealousy. You will not be able to correct the jealousy if you get depressed by that. Because that depression is associated with the egocentric nature of the mind. Elation is associated with the egocentric nature of the mind. The mind has to be so transparent, as we are seeing, this is orange, this is buff, this is black, as we are seeing. Like that, when it is our personality, we should be able to see that this is a constriction, this is a jealousy, this is a liberality, and whatever good you enhance that, whatever bad you eliminate that. Just working in a laboratory like thing. That kind of a dispassion should be there. The more we have that, the more will be our sadhana will be effective and we will be easily able to get rid of it. Is it meaningful? I often say that we have to put our personality, those who have worked in biological lab, that you given a frog, you pin the four hands and legs and all and split it and then open it and see that the heart is pumping or what is happening. Everything you have to see and you have to write your notes according to that. You have to observe it. Like that we say that put your personality on the examination table. Cut it open and point out what are the things there in your mind. Not in the body. Don't cut open the body. Mind has to be cut open and mind has to be looked into. Look into the mind and find out what are the things. You are not being able to be happy about others' prosperity. No. It is because he said something that day. No, you are trying to avoid. Press. See, there will be so many excuses we try to get rid of it. Why did you speak hurtingly? No, I did not speak hurtingly. She first spoke hurtingly to me. She complained to Ma whatever I had said. These are the excuses we put forward. Don't allow the mind to give such excuses. Just pin it down there and find out, no, it is wrong, it should go. Whatever anybody else may do, why should you react in this manner? Like that we have to examine ourselves, put the personality, the mind on the examination table, find out, and whatever to be rejected, simply ask them to go, whatever to be incorporated, this is the way we have to do. There this ego element causes all the obstruction, because if it is a bad quality, we are not able to accept that I have the bad quality. If it is somebody else, then we will impute the bad quality, although he may not have it. So, the more we think of others, the mind is released and expanded. Everything becomes easier there. There is a quotation by somebody, I don't remember that. Men would have been able to make their life much more perfect if they had taken it less seriously, if they have taken it lightly. Less seriously, not in the sense that just fun, but we are too serious about our what I am and what is my image in the society and all, and we are not able to work on that. So we have to be light in that sense, not in the usual sense of lightness, but in this manner we cannot be too serious about our defects. Yes, I have found this defect is there in me. Every personality has got some bad traits and some good traits. I have developed this bad trait. Maybe it has come from heredity or maybe I have acquired, whatever it is there and I don't want it. So I will work on it. It should be so, I use the word phenomenological, that is not to associate the ego with it. It will be just seeing as we are seeing the object, seeing our mind, seeing our personality and work on that. How do you, then again this measurement of sadhana is going on, spiritual progress. If mind derives joy out of the activities I perform or with the interactions in the objective world, then I consider it to be a progress in spiritual sadhana. Now, here also that same is that suppose you are taking up activity whatever you like only, then you will be always happy with your activities. Suppose you are always choosing your activities, then you will be happy with your activities then when the mind is happy. But if you are put in a difficult situation where you are not being able to be happy with your activities, then how your mind behaves, that will be the sadhana, will be known. My example is not so good. Ma was saying that yesterday also, it's not comparable to others, but what can I do? So I am giving another of my example on the good side of it. I have told several times, even then in this case I am saying that when we had come to the ashram for the first time, I mean when we came to join, that was the time we were at peak of, before that of 5 years in IIT Kharagpur, we were at the peak of our sadhana. And that is the time we left and came. So when I had just come, maybe the next day or so, or the first day itself, when Swamiji saw me, he said, now that you have come, we will do some construction work. So this construction is a thing which I disliked most. So much so, I have told, in my young days when I appeared for the higher secondary exam, there was a gap for 3 months before we joined the college. 3 months holiday was there. And that was the time my father, Purvashrama father, was making the house. So 3 months gap is there, so he felt that it will be a great cooperation, help for me. So he asked me to go and supervise the work there. After 2 or 3 days, the chief mason reported to Swamiji that don't send this boy anymore because... Swamiji na, father, the Purvashrama father. Not the present father. Why it said Swamiji? Reported to Purvashrama father that don't send this boy. He is bringing a big book and throughout the day he is lying on a charpai. Charpai means a netted cot. Lying on that and reading the book. He doesn't see anything of the construction at all. And as a proof, he took my father in one place and showed that how the masons have missed one line of bricks while laying. From here to here it has bent and gone and one line is eaten up there. So such a defective work also, he did not see anything. It is his defect actually. He should have seen it, but he is putting the blame on the boy. He got him. And what I was doing is that was the time I was deep in study of physics from Feynman lectures in physics. It's a self-study book. And I was in a sort of spiritual joy in reading physics in that manner. So I was overjoyed with reading and I was completely given to it. So there was no question of leaving it and going and seeing how they are working or not. So father told me that there is no point, this is what the mason has told. So I was relieved of my duty. And then I could dive in the Feynman lectures on physics and all the vast joy and knowledge, enlightenment that physics could give me at that time. So this is my background of construction. And when we were in Calcutta, we had a land there. My father wanted a small house to be built there so that we can stay. It was near the college where we were working. It would be convenient for us also. So, but I repeatedly refused that, no, we don't want, we will stay in a rented place, doesn't matter at all. No construction, nothing. Another reason is that I always used to feel burdened with anything. I was very vairagin from my childhood. But vairagin in another sense, now I am looking after so many things. At that time I was a real vairagin in the common sense, in the usual sense, that I would not accept anything. Even during puja, when everybody gets new dress and all, I would not take. If I have some, I would manage with that. That kind of a character was there. So, I felt that having a house is a burden. I told my father that, no, I don't want. He would not agree. Then I finally said, see, I don't know how many days I am going to work here. Any day I can leave and go away. What will you do with the house then? It will become a burden. I may not work here. I may go to some other place and work there also. This house will become a burden. So I don't want it at all. As long as I am there, I will stay in a rented place. So this way we have avoided. And then when we came here, I thought that I will be all the more deeply in reading and researching and writing about the Shastras, spiritual truth and all that, that we will have enough time because the institute work will no more be there. At least 10 hours I will get more to delve into it. But Swamiji said, who wants to make some construction? And finally I found it is not only construction, construction plus maintenance, plus supervision, everything. So there was hardly any time I could either listen or to read, or no time was available for any so-called spiritual sadhana at all. So initially there was a little unhappiness. I won't say that I was smiling right from the beginning. But very soon I overcome it. I could overcome it, and I have been doing, because even now also Venkatramanji has come and helped me over the last few years, over the last 2 years. But otherwise, here also we are not taking up any construction because we are not able to do anything. There is nobody to take up construction anymore. So, we have to be happy with whatever we are doing. I think whatever we have done here, I have done it with lot of happiness, involvement, joy and the design, everything, with full effort. So much so that the Kananam, where you, many of you are staying, there the roof, I have even drawn picture for each of the steel bars there in the roof. The beams and the even the roof slab bars, and to conserve the number of steel to be cut and all, I had arranged in a manner that the minimum number of cut will be there, cut pieces will be minimum, how to arrange the steel and everything I went into, and with color, beautiful diagrams. We have not kept anything. Beautiful diagrams of the entire steel structure I had drawn. I used to go into so much of detail while constructing. Electric board design, they have gone. Everything I used to design with lot of interest, and not only that, in concreting also, after they have consolidated behind them, I would go with the iron rods and all, see that the until the whole mass of the concrete moves evenly, where I can see that it has been properly stirred, that the movement I used to understand. So Kananam roof, I have worked very hard in doing the concreting also. Those days we were doing all manual. Everything.
No, I would like to add this, that what Swamiji is saying, Swamiji is trying to say that whatever work one gets, one should do it joyfully, and when he did not like construction fell on him, and he was doing it and he was getting joy. But in between that also there were many times that there was a lot of difficult moments, because there will be some difference in ideas with the guru, like...
Oh yes, that is a subtle point I did not want to mention.
No, I am mentioning it, that because I will be maybe doing my work sometimes in the kitchen or sometimes with Swamiji's letters and whatever. Then Swamiji will come with a very, not agitated, but definitely a disturbed face and say, "See, I want this to be like this," and explain to me many things which I won't understand, and say, "But Nutun is saying that it should be like this." And then he will just tell all these things and go away. After some time, Nutun Swamiji will come and say, "See, I have done this, and with so much effort I have made," and Swamiji went and told the messen to do it in the other way. "What shall I do now?" So these, how these were, I think it will be very nice if you can say how you overcame those difficulties.
How they ask how? There is no how. I was dispassionate by my birth. So all these things I could overcome easily perhaps. But not losing any devotion to the Guru, I had fought with Swamiji enough. Fought means I would argue, and both Swamiji and Purushottam Swamiji would argue like anything. Purushottam Swamiji would jump on his chair and argue. But to me, finally one day I said that whatever physics or science I have learned, according to that it is. If according to spiritual science the building can be constructed in another manner, you do it. So it used to go to that extent.
No,
there are details, various details, but that not really.
Purushottam Swamiji and Swamiji both are given to construction. I mean, it is such a dear thing to their heart. So when Purushottam Swamiji will be making buildings there, and our ashram will have whatever we have. So when Swamiji cannot, will have differences with him, he will call Purushottam Swamiji and ask his opinion. And both the brothers will agree at that time.
Otherwise, Swamiji, even going to Vyasatapavanam, before he has put the second foot down from the car, he has already started fighting with Purushottam Swamiji. Purushottam Swamiji is standing outside the car. Fighting means arguing over whatever, that the nala has not been cleaned, even now this has gone wrong, that has gone wrong.
So much stink, I do not want to come here. And similarly, Purushottam Swamiji, when the car would stop there, he will get down, he'll, while washing his feet, Swamiji is in the veranda and Purushottam Swamiji outside, washing his feet, both. Only in the later years. I mean, it was a very, don't think that they were fighting with animosity or anything, but it was very nice to look at. And in this context,
see, the lack of ego, you can see that just after such argument, heated argument also, we could speak very smilingly, comfortably, I can say, what do you say, lovingly. With Purushottam Swamiji also, there was no problem. While arguing, it will be a furious argument. Even about putting that the lateral truss, what do you call it? That when you put a roof like this, you need some tie beam to be put there. Purushottam Swamiji was not agreeing. No tie beam is necessary. Suppose we put a cap, we have concrete cap we have made, and we put it on the building. Where is the tie beam coming? Tiving is hidden there, you have already in the cap, it has to stand, the lateral force, it has to stand. He would not agree. So this kind of lot of arguments used to be there.
By the way, I just want to say, because these are something about some saints, you know. One of the initial Bhagavata Satram, it was Bhagavata Satram, now runs very well, in a very organized manner. Those days, in the beginning, it was not, and there used to be a lot of difficulties, problems, is that. So something happened, Bhagavata Satram was over, then it was found that the pandal, the person who has done it, has charged heavily. And Swamiji was not consulted before this man was engaged. So our Swamiji got very annoyed. So we could hear that both are talking. Swamiji is on the phone here and Purushottam Swamiji must be that side. A lot of heated argument is going on for a long time. Then Swamiji came very annoyedly to me and, see, Purushottam Swamiji is saying like this, I just don't know, I'll simply not get associated with this, and kept quiet. The two brothers, before this Bhagavata Satram, will be talking every day, morning, evening, afternoon, night, late night. We used to sometimes get very annoyed and helpless also, because if we wanted to talk, we'll always find him on the phone. Now, absolute calm. Swamiji is not talking to Purushottam Swamiji. Swamiji is always available to other things. And no talk. Purushottam Swamiji is also not calling, and Swamiji is also not calling. So I went after a few days. We were all feeling it. I told Swamiji that, why is it that you are not talking to him? Are you not going to talk? What happened between you? What was the actual talk? I do not know. We do not know. Then Swamiji again started what all Purushottam Swamiji has told him. So then I said that we are feeling very sad. How you brothers cannot talk to each other? So shall I talk to Purushottam Swamiji and ask him? You do whatever you like. So I called Purushottam Swamiji and told him that Swamiji, it is looking very odd that you are not talking. No phone call between both of you. We are feeling very sad. What has happened? Then Purushottam Swamiji started saying so many things about our Swamiji. That he is this, he is that, he talks like this. He has told me this. How can it be? And explaining his own stand. Then he said, see, I tell you one thing. He may be a guru to you, but you know, he is my younger brother. I have taken him in my lap and brought him up. Tell him this. So I went and told Swamiji that he's saying like this. So anyway, I told Purushottam Swamiji, enough is enough, Swamiji. I think you should talk to him. He's your younger brother, so you please talk to him. So then Purushottam Swamiji, okay, you give the phone. So I gave the phone.
See, we were discussing so many things, but one little technical aspect you should know. This masons or any workers, when there are two managers, two supervisors, it's a very difficult situation. For them also perhaps it is difficult, but they get enough excuses also, because if A is saying something, they will say that B has told me like this. If B says, then they will say A has told. Actually, it is not true. So what will happen? Our struggle was mostly with the corners of the walls, that edge, the finishing of the windows, corners, etc. That I would like to have it sharp, but a little, that it should not break, or so a little tapered,
rounded,
molded.
Rounded.
Very little, not rounded, but little tapered. But Swamiji wants it very widely rounded, of a bigger angle. Now the masons are not able to, if it is wide at the, it will not have the clean edge. It will always be wavy or so. That I did not like. So I would show, suppose Chandran is the mason, so I call Chandran and show a place where you make it like this. Not telling that less or more, because that will create confusion. Now, maybe he has made it much sharper than that. Generally it will be like that. When Swamiji goes, he will say that Nutan Swamiji has asked me to make it sharp. And then Swamiji would come back and scold me that, why everywhere, it will all break, you have... I said, but Swamiji, I have shown him, I have not made it sharp, but I have shown him the sample. He did not tell me of any sample. So we would go together and this is what I had asked him to make. This is okay, but he has not done it like that. Then scold him if he has not done like that. So it was like this simple, small things. Apart from the main design or all, design also we had lot of differences. About everything we had differences. Today you are speaking about differences and all. We had so much of differences, but we have been working together throughout, everywhere. Actually, Swamiji was writing Ramayana at that time in Vicharasetu. You know how it stops, because I would criticize the descriptive part of it, not the interpretative part of it. Finally, he got so annoyed that he said, you write the descriptive part, I will write the interpretation. But it never happened. One more sheet is just I will mention. Here someone has written about understanding Sanskrit language. It is a constraint. However, I am trying to understand through translated versions. But you are not old enough. So why don't you, even if you are old, why don't you study Sanskrit? Because this knowledge of Sanskrit and Sanskrit words, it will open up a whole new horizon. Our culture, our spirituality can be best understood if we have at least some workable knowledge of Sanskrit. We can take a course for 15 days or so. We can take, go for a, there are so many courses available online, Skype and so many others at the internet. If we can learn Sanskrit for a few months, then it will be fine. It will, those who are serious about spiritual sadhana, we would always advise that you have some knowledge of Sanskrit. It will help it greatly. Other than that, all points have concerned. Now, I would like to give up this. I thought of dealing with questions, but there is no time. Geeta Venugopal.